Being married to a non-believer or to a believer who has walked away from the Lord and is currently not following God makes for a very challenging relationship. It brings with it a different set of priorities, goals, decision-making, and a whole way of living life. Learning to navigate this relationship can be especially difficult because there just doesn't seem to be many people who are an example to follow or lessons taught about how to do this successfully. To help us with this, I've invited my friend, Melody Allen, who has some personal experience in this area, to give us a little marriage advice of some do's and don'ts for this type of relationship. Girls, you're probably going to want to take some notes on this one. So grab your pen and paper and let's get started. Welcome to the Faith Lived Out podcast. Are you wanting a loving Christian marriage but are unsure what that looks like or how to get it? Do you have fears about becoming a submissive wife, afraid that you'll lose your identity or become a doormat? Do you have thoughts that maybe you're doing this whole wife and marriage thing all wrong and you want to know how to do it right, to stop worrying all the time and to learn how to truly put your faith and trust in the Lord? Hey girl, I'm Nancy Adamson, wife, mom, and Grammy to 7 sweet babies, Christian mentor, Bible teacher, speaker, and women's ministry leader. I see you and I get you because I've been there, and I'm here to share with you what God has taught me on how to have a loving biblical marriage and what the true meaning of being a submissive wife really looks like. We'll also chat about how to find wisdom and truth for life's challenging questions in His Word, how to apply God's truth to our lives, and to put the cares and concerns that are on your heart safely in the Father's hands. So if you're ready to learn how to live out your faith every day and follow the amazing plan that God has for your marriage, grab your coffee, pull up a chair next to mine, and let's get started. Navigating the struggles and trials of any marriage can be a challenge. However, you add to that mix a non-believing husband or one who is not following the Lord, and it makes it all the more difficult. My husband was a believer when I married him, and if you listen to the first episode of my story, then you know that being unequally yoked was one of the first things that I learned as a new believer, and I'm thankful for that. However, I do recognize that not everyone was at that place. First, let me start by saying, however you got here, it doesn't matter. We've all made mistakes. We've all had changes to our lives, whatever the case may be. Even if you completely defied God and said, nope, this is who I want to marry, even though I know I shouldn't, it's okay because God is forgiving. You are where you are, and even when we make mistakes, God doesn't just set us aside and go, oh, well, you made your bed, now lie in it. But He comes alongside of us. He helps us and guides us and works in our life even when we mess up. So I don't want you to be feeling guilty or down on yourself or this is all my fault because I married a non-believer and I'm now in this relationship, or that your spouse, for whatever reason, is choosing not to follow the Lord. I want you to feel that you can go to God for help in this because you absolutely can, and He will guide you, direct you, and care for you and protect you in your relationship with your husband. Because I married a believer, I don't really have firsthand experience in what you ladies deal with on a daily basis. Therefore, I didn't feel equipped to be able to give you godly marital advice on this. So I prayed about it, and I asked the Lord to bring someone who has this kind of experience, who would be willing to share, and who has a solid godly background and godly principles. And God provided the perfect person. To help us with this, I've invited my friend, Melody Allen.
Howdy.
She will be sharing with us some of the things that she has learned over the years that have not worked in her relationship with her unbelieving husband, and then some of those things that have worked and have made her relationship better. As I said, I was looking for someone and praying for someone to be able to interview for this episode of the podcast, and Melody was looking to start a podcast of her own and was looking for somebody that maybe could come alongside her and give her some information. So God answered both of our prayers and us meeting together and becoming friends. Since then, Melody has started her own podcast. So Melody, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. It's a Christian political podcast. So I basically took my two passions, which one is my relationship with Christ and my faith, and politics, because I volunteer a lot in the political realm, and God laid it on my heart about a year or so ago to use this as a ministry to educate Christians and inspire Christians and encourage them to get involved to help restore God to government. And so that's what our podcast is about. We focus on local issues, but we also focus on national issues. You'll have some shows where we're just talking about, again, those local issues, but then, and it's strictly politics. But there are some episodes that are really whatever God has laid on my heart that may have nothing to do with politics. And that's the beauty of it, is I get to kind of mix in, sprinkle in some politics, but again, talk a little bit about sharing the gospel and other things that, again, God's laid on my heart. So really, really love for folks to check it out. It's called Patriots Revival.
Yes, and you should check it out. It's a wonderful podcast, and I have been learning so much more just about our system and how things work and about our government. And it was really great to be able to listen to this podcast and get some insight before I did my voting in the primary. So it has been very helpful for me.
All right. Thanks, Nancy.
All right. So then on to our topic today. Would you please share with us a little background about you and your husband?
Sure. So we're very different in our background. And I'll tell you, I grew up in a very strong Christian home. Both of my parents are believers, and they made sure that God was at the center of our family. And when big decisions need to be made, Mom and Dad would pray, and we would pray about it as a family. So Christ was truly at the center of our family. And as a result of that, I gave my life to Christ when I was very young and was on fire for God for several years, but then kind of began straying in my late teen years. And as I went into college and even after I graduated college and went into the workforce, I still really wasn't walking with the Lord, and didn't really come back to God until, well, it was after I met my husband, after we got married for several years after that. So again, I have a very strong Christian background, and my husband, on the other hand, did not. His parents are not believers either. He has one set of grandparents that attended church regularly, and he has one memory of going to church with them, maybe one particular Sunday, but that's about it. So everything that I was exposed to growing up, he was not. His parents are great people, loving people. They just don't know the Lord. So as a result of that, he has not, you know, he does not have the background or biblical experience that I had growing up. And that's what makes us very, very different. And we met at work, and I think what really attracted us to one another is we were both previously married. So I want to put that out there. And we were both in very abusive relationships. My first marriage was to another non-believer, and it was physically abusive, mentally abusive. It was mentally abusive, and I had to get out. That's a whole other story for another time, but I felt like it was a life or death moment for me, and God brought me out of that. And my husband, when I met him, he came from an abusive relationship, but it was more not physical, but he was married to a woman who was very controlling and very mentally abusive as well. So I think that's really what attracted us to one another, and we're also very physically attracted to one another, and we had some other similarities and interests that we just, you know, we fell in love and we got married. And, you know, again, I thought, well, this is going to be okay. And it, having the background that I did, I thought, oh, it'll be okay. You know, I can change him. I'll be able to change him. Even though I wasn't really still walking with God at the time. I mean, he's always been there. He's always there. He's always in the back of my mind. And that strong foundation of faith that I had growing up. I mean, my mom even sat me down and said, Melody, if he's not a Christian, are you sure you want to do this? She advised me, say, Melody, you know, you should not marry an unbeliever. You cannot change people. And I went against it, kind of went against my mom too. And so I thought, no, I can change him and we'll get married and everything will be fine. And we'll start going to church together and he'll accept Christ and everything will be great. But I'm here to tell you, it's not worked out that way so far. We're still very much in love, but he is still a non-believer.
And we can't change anybody.
That's correct. You're right about that.
So you walked away from the Lord for a while and during that time chose to not follow his word when you married your husband. How have you reconciled this with God in your own heart?
So I know that I'm accountable. You know, just as Jesus commanded the woman who committed adultery in John 8, 1 through 11, when the crowd wanted to stone her and Jesus said, you know, the one who has never sinned, throw the first stone. And then the crowd just kind of quietly slipped away. And then Jesus looks at her and says, well, where'd all your accusers go? And she says, well, they're not here, Lord. And he said, did even one of them condemn you? And she said, no, Lord. And he says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. So I'm a believer. So that's kind of the way I look at it, is that I know better. So I need to do that as well and go and sin no more. I'm accountable to God because once God gives me the knowledge of the truth, I mean, since I'm accountable to it, if I rebel against it, that's more than sin. It's rebellion. But because I sinned in the face of knowledge by marrying an unbeliever, despite me knowing what God's word says about this, there's a judgment period there. And after the judgment period, God gives the grace and God is still graceful to me because I am a Christian, but you know, he will invoke restitution when you sin in the face of knowledge. But now I've asked for forgiveness. I continue to have faithful commitment to God and long-term obedience. And that's how I live my life now, even though I did marry a non-believer.
And do you feel forgiven?
I do.
What has it been like to be a follower of God and live with and love someone who does not share the same beliefs?
I'll tell you, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to be married to a non-believer. You know, I attend church alone and I long for him to go with me, but he won't. I long for him to pray with me, read and study God's word with me, or go to God's word together when we have a problem or an issue that arises. But, you know, of course he won't. You know, even something as simple as tithing has been a challenge in our relationship because a non-believer doesn't understand why money needs to be given to God or the church, especially when times are tough. Early on in our marriage, we argued about this, and I know from the home that I grew up in, because my parents tithed and taught me the importance of that. And I know from God's word that, you know, tithing is important. That's what we should do. But at the same time, the husband's the head of the household and I should be submissive to my husband. So that's why we've struggled with this. And I've tried to explain to him the importance of tithing. And I've even shown him how God has blessed us in various ways when I have tithed. And he's, you know, early on he was like, I don't agree with this. And especially if it meant it would cut into his hobbies and activities. He's kind of thinking that in his mind because he's selfish, and we'll get into that in a second. But, you know, he didn't agree with it. But I as a Christian, I just went ahead and I have tithed and he's now accepting of it. I think he still disagrees with it, but as a Christian, I'm at least feeling like this is what needs to be done. So tithing has been very difficult, or at least being on the same page about financial times. And especially when it was very, I mean, every couple experiences financial hardship, and that's where he really didn't understand, why are you sending or giving all this money away when we can barely pay our bills? And so, you know, we've made it through, but I don't think to this day he would admit that it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mentioned a minute ago, he's very selfish and he knows he's selfish. He's not ashamed of that. He did tell me even when we were dating, hey, I'm very selfish. So if you want to be married to a selfish guy, then I'm just laying it out there. But again, I love him so much and I was just, oh, I love him, but I'm very selfless. People who know me know that I'm very selfless, and we know selfishness is a sin, and Philippians 2:3-5 addresses that. And because of my love for the Lord and others, and because God's word calls us to put off selfishness, I remain selfless. And because I want to be, I try to put others before myself, but it's frustrating knowing that he's all about him and doesn't take others or others' needs into consideration. But his selfishness only amplifies my selflessness. So it enables me to see God's grace and blessing and putting others before myself. And one final thing I'll say about how it's difficult is decision making is hard. You know, since I come under the authority of my husband, it's challenging trying to go with what he says he feels is right. When I, in my heart and through prayer and being in God's word, feel that it isn't God's will, because people also who know me know that I have a very difficult time making decisions because I want to make sure it's what God wants. It's what God's will is. And so when you as a couple are not, you're not both praying about that and you both don't care about what God wants, and you've got one of the equation that just cares about what they want, it makes decision making for very hard when it's a very big financial decision it could be a small decision. It could be a very large decision, but it's something that we've struggled with and that we have difficulty getting on the same page at times. But those are three examples that I would say that come to mind that are give you an idea of what it's like to be married to a non-believer who doesn't share my same beliefs.
So that kind of leads us into one of the other questions is, when you and your husband are on different pages because of your beliefs, what gets you through? How do you handle that?
So I'll tell you, faith, hope, and love really get me through. I know that all things are possible with God. I remain true and faithful and don't give up hope that my husband will someday give his life to Christ and that the two of us will one day share the same godly views and beliefs versus me having a godly view and belief and him having a worldly view and belief. That is, you know, just remaining faithful to the Lord and hopeful. That's really what gets me through in the differing beliefs.
So you talked about being on a different page with your husband. And then as a wife, we're called to be submissive to our husband, even if they do not obey the word. So how do you handle that kind of situation?
It really depends on the situation. In the past, I will explain to him that I disagree, and here's why I disagree, to see if I can get him to understand why I don't agree with that decision. Sometimes that works. So it's not like I'm just saying I have a differing opinion. Here's why I have a differing opinion. And sometimes that works. And then there are some cases in which I just think, well, I'm just going to go ahead with this. And they're not ones that are really, I wouldn't say that they are a deviation of God's word. Those types of decisions are ones where, you know, maybe he is saying, no, we will spend money on this or that. And then even though I disagree, I'll say, you know, okay, I kind of pick and choose, if you will. So, but if it's truly going against God's word, I'll say, you know, I can't do that. I don't agree with that, and here's why. But I can't really, you know, there haven't been anything. It's not like he's ever told me to do anything that, how do I word this?
Blatant against God's word.
Right, right.
Okay.
Because that would be a whole other conversation and, you know, may not even be married anymore. You know, if, I don't know. But that's how I handle it. I kind of pick and choose if it's something that I'm really in disagreement with because I feel strongly about it because of what God's word says or how I feel that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, or if it's something and I think, well, you know, he is the head of household and he's really adamant about this and, you know, we'll just get through it, that type of thing. That's kind of how I handle it.
And has God brought you through each one of those things?
Yes. Yes.
Because he is faithful even in that.
He is. He is indeed.
All right. So then what have you done in the past to try to change your husband's mind about God that you now wish you hadn't done?
Okay. Yeah. So I've tried several tactics. The first I would say is hellfire and brimstone. You know, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and I answered the altar call during a revival, and the pastor was, you know, talking about hell and whatnot. And so I kind of played that same tactic with him and told him, hey, if you don't give your life to Christ, that he and I won't get to spend eternity together because I'll be in heaven and he will be in hell. And, you know, I've pleaded with him and told him I don't want him to be in hell. That definitely doesn't work. It makes him upset and he thinks I'm crazy. And so that definitely, the hellfire and brimstone scare tactic, I would not advise that. I've actually forced him to go to church with me, and you know, he didn't like it. And he would just sit there with his arms crossed and have a horrible attitude. I even made him go to a couple's Bible study on marriage that our church was kicking off. I was so excited about it. I wanted to do it. And we went to the very first Bible study session in a group. And of course, he sat with his arms crossed and wanted nothing to do with it. And of course, on the way home, I said, what did you think of that? And he was like, I hated it. And I said, okay, when we won't go back. And he was very pleased. So making your husband go, that has not worked for me. I even went through another tactic, is I even went through several months, or even it might have even been a year, where I would ask him every week to go to church with me, because I thought persistence is going to pay off here. He's going to eventually get tired of me asking, and then he's going to want to go. You know, the old sales tactic of somebody's going to end up buying something from you because they get tired of you asking all the time for their order. Well, I thought that would work. I was just going to ask, right? Not make him, but just ask. And that maybe, just maybe, he would go one day, and maybe, just maybe, it would be a Sunday that the preacher would preach a sermon that would just speak directly to him and he would give his life to Christ and we'd live happily ever after. No, that didn't work. In fact, he even said, are you going to ask me every single week if I'm going to church with you? And I said, yes, I'm going to. And so after many, many months, or again, it might have even been a year of asking him, and he never said yes, I gave up. And then I've talked to him about Christ in a conversational manner, and asked him what he knows, what he doesn't know, asked him if I could answer any questions for him. Of course, every time he says, I don't want to talk about it. So those are the tactics that I've used with him over the years that have not worked. And yeah, I wish I hadn't, because they didn't go anywhere, but it probably didn't help the situation and obviously didn't push him to Christ, and may have even put a bad taste in his mouth if I'm shoving all these different things on him.
So what have you learned to do instead?
Now I don't really bring up salvation much at all. No more scare tactics, no more asking to go to church, no more witnessing. I've just learned to be a witness to him in the way that I live my life. You know, I pray for him daily. I ask God to help me be an example to him in all I do and say, because I know he's watching. I know he is. And a verse that I keep in mind is 1 Peter 3:1-2, which says, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. But even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They may be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. So I kind of try to keep that in mind. I also try to find ways to show him how God works and how good God is. Anytime I'm able to just say, oh, you know, God answered that prayer for me, or, you know, I prayed about this. Or another example is we had recently two bad things that happened to us, and then we had two good things that happened to us. Well, he actually recognized it. He said, you know, we had two really bad things that happened to us recently, and then we had two really good things that happened to us recently. And I said, yes, exactly. You know, God got us through the bad, and he put us through this trial and these tribulations to test our faith and endurance. And look what happened. We were blessed as a result of this. And so I just now, again, just really want to try to be a witness to him in my actions and my words, and try to sprinkle some things in when I can, so he can see God's goodness and he can see that I give God the glory in everything.
Do you find it hard to be submissive or respectful to your husband? If so, how do you move past it and stay obedient to Christ?
Yes, it's hard at times to be submissive or respectful to my husband. I move past it though with the Holy Spirit. I actually have Galatians 5:22-23 taped to my mirror, which says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I can't tell you how many times that has gotten me through. I can't say that I've not spouted something off, because it happens. I have spouted off and said something that I shouldn't have, or regretted. But
we all do.
We all do. But I really try to think about, because again, I want to be a witness to my husband, but also because I have the Holy Spirit living in me, I want to exhibit all of these fruits. And that is really what I think about when I, you know, he's saying something that I completely disagree with, or I don't want to adhere. I just really think about that verse, and that's what helps me stay obedient.
How do you handle going to church and Bible study now? You talked about how you did it before, but how do you do it now?
Now I attend church with my family. I've got my mom, my aunt, and my sweet 94-year-old grandmother that all attend church with me every Sunday. One of my very best friends and her husband, as well as her mother, attend our church service with us. And one of the ladies in my Bible study group, we all go to church together and we all sit together. So it's almost like I have my own little support group, and I have other friends scattered throughout the sanctuary. And after church, we visit and chat, and sometimes we end up all going to lunch together. So even though I would love for my husband to be there with me and experience the praise part of worship, the actual message, the fellowship with fellow believers, I know he's not there. So now I truly look forward to worshiping in God's house each and every week and getting to see all the special people in my life. As far as my Bible study group goes, my Bible study group all knows that my husband's not a believer. So they've been praying for him since we started our group several years back. And I often share some of the struggles that I face with him and his disbelief in the Lord. And it's really nice to have this group of fellow believers to talk to about my struggles. And it's nice to know that they keep me and my husband in prayer. So between my support system that I have on Sundays, my family and friends, and the folks in my Bible study group, it's a blessing that I have all of these people in my life.
I think that support from other believers is very important.
Particularly
in this kind of a marriage relationship, I think, because we all need that support. We all need that fellow Christian support to hold us accountable, to lift us up when we fall, to help us when we're in need, and to even, you know, share our joys with. And when we don't have our husband that we can do that, then I think it's all the more reason why we need to be in church. We need to be in Bible study. We need to have that kind of fellowship with other believers to help see us through.
Yeah.
Does your husband resent you going to church or Bible study, or is he okay with it?
Not at all. He's very supportive of it.
Oh, good.
He even says, like, if we go see his family, a lot of times we'll get together with his parents and family on a Sunday, but he's very respectful. He tells his mom and dad, hey, Mel's going to go to church, so we won't be there until 2 o'clock or whatever it might be. So he's very understanding of that.
And has it always been that way? Or do you think Yes. maybe your conduct has changed that at all?
No, he's never really been one to get in the way of me wanting to worship. So I will say this about him. He is very selfish, but he's very supportive of what I want to do, whether it's my Christianity and faith or the other ways that I spend my free time. He has always said, I do not want to get in the way of that.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Where have you seen God work in your marriage?
Well, like just about every couple, we have had so many tough challenges and tribulations. And it's interesting that every time we go through a very difficult time or a very difficult situation, you know, God gets us through it. But I see that we grow closer. And even though he's not a man of faith, and I am, I see that these very difficult challenges and trying times that we've been through just bring us closer together every single time. So it just strengthens our relationship.
That's awesome. How has this experience caused you to grow in your faith and your walk with the Lord?
So I just mentioned the trials and tribulations that God has gotten us through in our marriage and how they've really helped strengthen our relationship. But I'll say it has helped strengthen my personal relationship with the Lord. One of my favorite passages related to this is James 1, 2 through 4 about faith and endurance, in which James writes, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." So all of these difficult times that my husband and I've been through have helped strengthen my relationship. And I think just the general challenges of being married to a non-believer has actually helped strengthen my relationship with Christ. You know, I've heard testimony and heard stories or read stories of God-fearing wives who have remained faithful to the Lord about their non-believing husbands and how their actions of living out the greatest commandment of love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself has helped them lead their husbands to Christ. And knowing that my husband's always watching or listening to things I do and say, how I react to certain situations or how I treat others can be a testament to the Lord. And that's really helped me grow closer to the Lord. And it's funny, like I just said, how being married to a non-believer can really strengthen that walk with Christ. And even though my husband doesn't show it much, you know, I feel like I'm getting through to him. His best friend told me not long ago that in conversations that he's had with my husband, that I'm getting through to him, that my husband has mentioned to him, he thinks that there's something to this faith thing as he refers to it. And it has sparked his interest. So his best friend told me, keep doing what you're doing because he's taking notice. So I know that's a long awesome. Answer as to how that strengthened my relationship with the Lord, but.
Well, you're seeing God work.
You know,
and it seems to be the more you take a step back and not try to push and not try to force and not try to change, then God is able to step in and mm-hmm. do his work and to do it through you. And as you depend on Christ, and that's why, you know, even though you're in this challenging marriage, you are able to grow because you are needing to depend on the Lord for things. And we mm-hmm. all go through that. We all have different trials and different things in our lives that teach us how to depend on Christ and not ourselves. And that's exactly what this experience with your husband has taught you, is to depend on God in your relationship with your husband and your conduct with him and let God change him.
Absolutely.
Last question. What encouragement would you give to wives who are in the same type of marriage?
I encourage wives who are married to non-believers to continue to follow that greatest commandment that I just mentioned of loving the Lord your God and loving your neighbor as yourself. And just like your children are watching you and learning from you, the same can be said with your non-believing husband. As I mentioned in 1 Peter 3:1-2, that says in the same way, my wives must accept the authority of your husbands. But even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives may speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. That's a passage that really helps me when I'm struggling with my non-believing husband and wondering if I'm making a difference in his life. And finally, I will tell you one scripture that gets me through, that gives me hope, is 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, which says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. And then the very last portion, which really hits home with me, is love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So I would tell wives that are married to non-believing husbands that you're planting seeds with your husband and maybe even other non-believers in your life in every word you speak, every action you take. Just remember that you are the farmer planting the seed, just like in the parable of the farmer scattering the seeds that Jesus shared in Matthew 13. God can work through you to lead your husbands to Christ. So I would say, don't give up your faith and remember that with God, all things are possible.
Well, Melody, this has been awesome. I thank you so much for being willing to come and to share your heart with this, to share what your experience has been. And I'm sure that it's going to be very helpful to some others. And that's what I pray for you, ladies. I pray that this has helped you today. I pray that it has given you some insight of maybe what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing in order to be able to help your marriage and to be able to help that relationship that you have with your husband to keep that peace in your marriage. Also know too that if you have any questions about this at all, you're welcome to post these questions on the Faith Lived Out community Facebook page. Either myself or Melody would be happy to answer them for you, happy to give you some insight or information to be able to help you with that. Again, Melody, thank you so much for doing this, for being willing to come on the show. You have been such a blessing and a pleasure, and I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
And ladies, have a blessed day. Thank you so much for listening today. I pray that God has used this episode to bless and inspire you to live out your faith in Him. If it has, please do me a huge favor by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. This is the only way that I know if you like the show, and you will be helping others to find this podcast and be lifted up by the Word of God. Is there someone who came to mind while you were listening today and you said, "Ooh, she needs to hear this"? Well, then send her the link so she can be encouraged too. Are you in the Dallas area and looking for a fresh new speaker to add excitement to your next luncheon, women's retreat, or other women's event? Then drop me a note at nancy@faithlivedout.com and let's chat about it. That's Nancy, N-A-N-C-I, at faithlivedout.com. I would love to come and meet with you and the ladies in your group. You're also welcome to visit the website at faithlivedout.com for more information, blog posts, journaling ideas, and free printables. Or become a part of our little community of believers by joining the Faith Lived Out community group on Facebook, where you can join together with other faith-led wives and moms just like you. Links to these areas and the scripture references used in today's episode are in the show notes. Ladies, thank you again for listening today. And know that I am praying for God to be with you as you learn to trust in Him more and to live out your faith every day. God bless you, and see you on the next episode.